Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Touch Line Podcast. You've joined us for episode 16, which is the Pekka episode, Wellington Peckert episode. Also, Carlos, rest in peace, Salcedo, and Fabian Espindola. I think Brett has a bunch of other people who've also worn 16.
Kenny Duchar, Chris Lenkos, Willis Forco. And Matt, I don't remember how we decided to pronounce it. Beckney?
Yeah, Beckney.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Sure. Yeah.
I probably destroyed that name.
Well, hopefully he'll let us know how to say it properly on Twitter. So
he can always come on the podcast.
That's right. He can tell us how to say his name. Tell us how it was to play those few games in 2005.
Yes.
So I'm Rich. If you aren't familiar, and we got Brett here, who we've already heard from. Anyway, so this episode of the Touchline Podcast, we are going to briefly discuss the painful game, which was last week against New England. We'll touch on this Friday night's game against the Earthquakes of San Jose, and we'll also touch on the game next week against LA Galaxy, since it's on Wednesday, and I don't think we'll do another podcast before then. And finally, we'll hurry and touch on Champions League a little bit. We had a request to kind of touch on RSL's quest to win the Champions League since Montreal flamed out today. So,
missed alive.
That's right. We got to represent this season. So this last week we played against New England. It was sad, a little bit more severe and rough than, you know, we anticipated last week. We lost 4-0 to the Revs. Maybe that's slight payback for the few times we pummeled them 6-0.
Especially on fireworks games.
I know. I'm sad we aren't playing them on the 4th of July this year.
Yeah.
Or around 4th of July. But we'll have to start a new tradition with Orlando City. So, you know, we played a reserve, I guess, or backup, B team. I don't know what the right terminology is. You know, we had a lot of starters out for international duty or injuries or suspensions. Needless to say, what?
I was going to say, I think the thing that I saw is we had 6 legit starters out due to either injury, suspensions, or international duty. And out of all the guys that were actually out, we needed one more and we could have fielded a team.
Yeah, that's no good when your guys that can't play is, you know, a full squad's worth. And it's also never good when you, you know, go to play a game and you can't fill your bench.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the 7 subs that you're allowed to have on the bench, we only had 5. So that's never a good sign, and I think it showed during the game. You know, New England, they had pretty much their full complement of players, their normal starters. Yeah, and they showed up, and they played great. I mean, we'll tip our hat to them, and, you know, they didn't let us, you know, I guess they didn't look down on us and kind of let us stay in the game too much. They still came out and, you know, pretty much punished the unfamiliarity and maybe a little slightly lower skill level of some of the people that we had brought in. So,
yeah, bravo to New England. I mean, they didn't play down to their competition. And I know we all say that the West is a battleground, that when it's all said and done with, you're going to have 2 or 3 really good West teams that are out of the playoffs. And New England looks like that one team in the East that can actually contend with Western teams. So good on them.
Yeah, that first goal that they had by Tierney, I mean, that was a good goal. And it was so funny to see Twitter, the other MLS players make fun of him on Twitter, you know, congratulating his right foot for its first career goal and all of that. that made me laugh. But, I mean, it was a quality goal. You know, the second goal – rebound was kind of unfortunate. And, you know, once you get down a couple goals, you know, whether we lost 1-0, 2-0, or 4-0, I don't know, it's about the same to me.
Yeah. I mean, I know there was a lot of hope and everything. I think a lot of people was hoping this game would turn out a lot better than it did, only because they went back to the diamond formation. But I think that was, in my eyes, the final nail in the coffin to the diamond formation. Because before it used to be a, doesn't matter who we plug into this spot, it's going to work. And now it doesn't work that way anymore. We don't have the type of players to be playing the diamond anymore.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering if, you know, even though there are certain players, you know, I mean, Beckerman could probably play it in his sleep. You know, Savo similarly. But, you know, there are a lot of people playing who, you know, haven't got a lot of first team minutes or a lot of games under their belt in the diamond per se. You know, Sturzer or Phillips, Vasquez, you know, some of those guys. Even having Mulholland and Gill, you know, Gill playing up top and Mulholland, you know, Mulholland with him. You know, so even though we are familiar with the diamond, I kind of wonder, you know, how much, if they're as just as familiar with the new 4-3-3 as they were with the diamond in this case.
Yeah. Yeah, so I ain't saying it's gone forever, but I don't think we see the diamond for a very long time.
On the On Frame episode this week, Trey was saying how he was laughing because there was people on Twitter who were you know, saying, you know, this game proves that, you know, we shouldn't play the 4-3-3 anymore, not realizing that we were actually playing the diamond. You know, they were asking for the diamond back, and that's what we were playing. So, you know, the diamond doesn't solve everything. I mean, that's what we were used to, but I mean, it's not the cure-all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, yeah, like I said, I think we're done with it. It's time to look to the 4-3-3. Everybody's learning it. Might as well just keep running with it.
Yeah.
I mean, on top of that, the best looking game we've ever had playing the 4-3-3 was against San Jose, and that's who we have this Friday.
Yeah. San Jose, that's what we need to cure all of our problems, right?
Yeah, I mean, last time we played them, we were tough defensively. If I remember right, we didn't allow Wando to have one shot, so you eliminate him from the game, you're able to look pretty good.
Yeah. One thing I was going to mention about the, I guess, last thing from the New England game, you know, I saw today Sturzer got retroactively suspended for the San Jose game, right?
Mm-hmm.
For his tackle on Aguadelo. So I think isn't that every single game that a player has been, like, I guess this is the first time as RSL player, but hasn't every game a player in one of our games been retroactively suspended?
Something to that effect.
I mean, it's been kind of crazy.
I do not think we will ever be healthy or have all our players at this rate.
No, never. No. Okay, well, let's not talk about New England anymore. Let's look forward to the Earthquakes. They're coming into our place. We're going to be on Univision again. I think it's funny that all three times we play San Jose, we're on national TV, and we're not on national TV a single time we play LA or Seattle or Portland, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So why they kept scheduling us on national TV with San Jose, I don't know, but I mean, if you count Univision as national TV.
Yeah. Well, and I know that Real Salt Lake came out and said that a whole lot of the fan base here in Utah doesn't have that channel, so they're still going to broadcast it on their channels. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it'll be nice to have, you know, our own crew rather than having to mess with the SAP function and listening to their English broadcasters.
Yeah, we get to listen to some more Dunny.
Yeah, Dunny and David James. If you can't go, I'll be there. I guess you can let me know how it goes on TV.
Yes, that I will. Just watch the Twitter feed.
That's right. If the internet will work at the stadium. So I mean, so we played them pretty recently. I mean, I don't know how much we have to talk about them necessarily. I mean, we can. Let's see who they played. So after they played us, they played.
They beat Vancouver and they
lost to New York. So, and that they beat Vancouver at home and then lost to New York on the road. Mm-hmm. And then they're playing us. They've actually been off for, 2 weeks? Their last game was on the 17th against New York. So for whatever reason, Chicago also had this where they were off for like 3 weeks. They've had a lot of crazy bye weeks so far in the early part of the season with different teams.
That's just FIFA's love affair with – I mean, MLS's love affair with FIFA. They love each other.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the result map, Montreal has only played 4 games this year.
Their schedule's going to get crowded at some point.
Yeah, they're going to get murdered late in the season. I can just tell.
And it's going to be like they're going to have like 5 games in hand until October or something. You know, it's like, oh, Montreal's in last place, but they have 5 games in hand.
Yeah, I was looking ahead. They got a game June 20th, June 24th, June 27th.
Oh, yuck.
Montreal.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. And that's during, I don't know if they'll have anybody wait for the Gold Cup or anything, but that would be during that time, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's also the same time frame that I believe the U20 World Cup's going on.
Isn't that, I think the U23s are doing there. They got a tournament or something during that time too, weren't they saying today? That it's in June sometime. I don't know if it's at the end of June or not.
Just, Gil will be gone for that. We will never be healthy or have all our players.
All of our players.
Never.
Yeah,
I don't go on anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
When you're talented.
Yeah, when you got a bunch of players on all the different national team levels. That's kind of the way it goes.
Yeah.
So, I would expect RSL to come out energized and angry, wanting to make up for the performance against New England and, San Jose possibly could be a little rusty or they might take a little while to get into the game because they haven't played for a while.
Yeah. Not only that, from the sounds of it, we'll have Nick Raimondo, Hamison Alave, Jordan Allen, Justin Glad, Sebastian Saucedo, and Boyd Okwuanu ready to go. And then Sebastian Jaime can return if he wants to play through the pain. And Morales has been training, and he hasn't been ruled out either. So
We'll be close to healthy, I guess.
And I know me and you both love Justin Glad, but tonight he didn't get a start for the Real Monarchs. So I'm wondering if they got plans for him for this weekend.
Oh man, I wonder.
We love Glad.
Yeah, did he play at all? I didn't see him on Twitter come in as a sub.
I did not see him come in as a sub. I don't even think he was part of the subs.
On the bench, even. Yeah, I don't remember seeing his name now that you say that.
I'm taking a look right now.
I didn't get a chance to go to the game or watch it.
Glad was not even on the bench.
Yeah, I wonder what's going on. Hopefully he's not hurt.
I wonder if we get a Glad start.
Now, where would he start? Olave, Vasquez, Mond. I don't know.
Somewhere on that back line.
See, I would have thought even if they would have had him on the bench, they would have had him play tonight.
Yeah. Nope. He's set up, man. He's coming with us. He's coming to the promised land.
To the promised land. We'll see, I guess. I mean, you saw Sturzer, he got to play a little bit since he can't play on Friday, so that was cool.
Yeah. That's kind of cool that they don't carry the red cards into the USL.
Yeah.
You can at least go down there and play.
Yeah, it'll allow people to still get some playing time when they do stupid stuff in MLS.
Yeah.
But
yeah, San Jose.
Yeah. I don't really have much to say about San Jose, since we just played them, other than, you know, we just got to keep Wando, you know, from taking shots and getting in the box. Hopefully they play him again in a kind of a midfield role, because I think that's stupid of them and limits his effectiveness. So I hope they continue to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, looking here at, you know, San Jose, we've kind of gone over them before. So I think we more or less need to look towards LA. We know what we're going to see from San Jose. And LA, I think we might be able to catch them flat-footed. Saturday, they play home against Colorado and then have to travel to us. So it's not like they're playing two back-to-back games at altitude.
Right. Colorado, they've been playing a little better. They got a draw today in New York. So that was good on them. I turned on that game right before the Champions League game started tonight. I turned it on, watched it for like 5 minutes, and saw both goals of the game during the game. So that was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I was like, when you turn on a soccer game, see the goals and turn it off, and that was the only scoring. So
nice.
Yeah. LA, you know, they've been having a little bit of struggles at the beginning of the season, trying to figure out how to play without Donovan, and, you know, Keane's been out a bit too. You know, Zardes has been taking on a bigger role. They had that academy kid. What was his name? He got a goal of the week nominee this week. It's Jameson, Bradford Jameson IV.
That is an awesome name.
And it drives me crazy because when I watch him play, him and Zardes have they look the exact same from, you know, the TV. They both have the bleached hair. And I haven't watched them enough to tell them apart, but when they're, you know, both running around, I'm like, I don't know which one's which.
Yeah.
So think of him just as a Jesse Zardes clone.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, they only run a 4-4-2. Looking over it, they still, it's nice to see that they still go with the philosophy of they're going to put their best 11 guys on, even if they don't know how to really play that spot. They're just going to put the best 11, as you can tell with Robbie Rogers still starting and trying to learn how to be a defender. So,
yeah. I mean, in his defense, I think he's done pretty well.
No, he's come around and he's, you know, he's starting to play really well at it, but I mean, I can't really bag on him for doing that and trying to teach a midfielder how to be a defender, because we did it with Man Sally.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, they lost Sarvis to Colorado in the offseason, you know, and I think that's really hurt them. Juninho and Sarvis, they played really well together. And for the most part, I think they've had Husidic play kind of in that role. And, you know, I think they've lost a lot between, you know, Donovan obviously leaving is a big deal, but then also losing that chemistry with Juninho and Sarvis, I think that hurt them a lot as well.
Yeah. I mean, they have Robbie Keane. They have, right, they still have Robbie.
Yeah, yeah. Has he been hurt lately? Because seems like I haven't seen him in a lot of the games. I'm going to see if I can find that out.
Yeah, he's been hurt, according to the LA's Galaxy's official MLS website.
Does it say with what?
Groin strain. The last three games.
Gotta hate that. You gotta hate hurting your groin.
But I mean, later this year they got Steven Gerrard coming over.
Yeah.
And so you kind of, my guess is this is a great time to be catching LA before Gerrard gets here, because if you want to play them, you want to play him before Gerrard gets here, or you want to play him as soon as he gets here before he gets into their system and figures out what's going on.
Yeah.
But as soon as they get clicking, it's going to be ugly. they could actually be a real dominant team that pushes, you know, a Seattle or a New England to the point.
Yeah, I mean, you would expect LA to kind of do what they always do, where they kind of start off a little bit slow and, you know, slowly. I mean, they're kind of like the Spurs in a way where, you know, a lot of times that regular season is a little bit slowish, and then they just kind of rev up as the season goes along until, you know, you get to the playoffs where they're starting to really click. So, you know, I'm all for playing them earlier in the season. Yeah, the injury report that came out today said that Keane didn't practice today and doesn't look like he'll play against Colorado, but he will continue to be evaluated. So hopefully we don't see him.
Yeah, like I said, this perfect time to want to play them. You just with this team anymore, our team's never healthy, so I don't know what to expect from us anymore. And so,
Inconsistency, I think, is what we should expect.
yeah,
I think we
I
should
mean,
be excited to see, you know, like they've never played together at all for half, and like they're Barcelona for the other half.
what I hope for.
Makes it exciting that way. You never know what to expect.
Yeah. But it's gonna be a nice test for us the next couple weeks. Hopefully we're able to come away with some points. We need some points.
Yeah, I mean, in these two games at home, you know, we aren't, you know, according to the players in Qatar, you know, we got our one loss out of the way, so you know, let's hope for 6 points over these next two games.
Yeah, I mean, well, we after the LA game, we only have one more home game in the month of May, and that's with New York City FC. So these two home games are huge for us. We need to get points off of them, especially if we're going to travel to, you know, Montreal, LA, and Vancouver.
Yeah, and then you know we start losing guys for international duty, so you know we
But
got
hey,
to.
the good thing I've been hearing though is at the end of May we should have Plata and Schuler back.
You know, everyone was excited on Twitter today because Plata showed up at practice and ran around a little bit, not to practice, just, you know, jogging around. So, you know, they said he's still got probably 3 or 4 weeks before he can be full training, but, you know, that's, you know, it's good to see he's at least, you know, progressing, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about if he's on the same time frame that Sabo was on. And I believe there's one other player that had this injury, but I don't remember who. But I know Sabo was one.
I think Winger broke his foot, but I don't know if it was the same bone or not. So I guess what are your predictions on the two games then?
We're gonna win them all. That's my guess. I'm guessing another 1-0 win against San Jose and then like a 2-1, 3-1 against LA.
Ooh. I'm gonna go. So I think we just are going to come out really motivated against San Jose. You know, we'll get a lot of our players back. They're going to, you know, want to show that last week was just ridiculous. So, you know, I'm going to go with 2-0 against San Jose. And I think I'll say it'll be a 1-1 draw against LA.
Hey, points are fine.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're gonna have a hard time breaking down LA's defense. You know, they have, you know, Gonzalez and Pinedo and, you know, all those guys back there, De La Garza. And, you know, where we've had a hard time struggling anyway, or a hard time struggling, a hard time scoring anyway, I think it will be a little bit rough against LA, but hopefully I'm wrong. So, should we talk quickly about Champions League?
Yeah, let's break it down.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, we had somebody ask on Twitter, Joshua Johnson at JSJohnson78, ask us about when does RSL's Champions League run start and stuff like that. And to answer that question kind of much is we really don't know. We kind of still have to wait for teams to qualify, but usually it starts early August is when the first games are played.
Yeah, so you got about half of the teams already determined right now, but we still have to wait for everybody else's spring, I guess, seasons to end to determine the other winners. And they'll do the draw for the different groups. They'll do that in June. So the way they work is they break all the teams into three pots. They have two Mexican teams, two American teams, and then the winners of four of the Central American teams. They're in pot A, and then there's another group in pot B, and then a group in pot C. And RSL is in pot B, so they're in the second tier, and they go and they draw one team from each group, one team from each pot to put them in a group, and those are the teams that we will be playing this fall.
Yeah, and looking through this real quick, just taking a look, by the end of May, you should know most of your teams. As it sits right now, about May 10th, you'll know the two Mexican teams, and most of the other teams are getting their stuff finished up by the end of May. So by the end of May, you'll know what's it looking like. And then early June, they'll do the draw. And then August is when games start. Which, little kind of side note, one of the teams that could take the last two Mexico spots is Chivas. And that's where we sent Carlos Salcedo. So there is a chance that Carlos may return to the Riot, which would be awesome.
Yes, people will shower him with flowers and, rainbows and unicorns. Yep. Uh-huh. I'm sure that's exactly how it will go.
I still really like the kid. I think that's more his dad that kind of screwed that up for him than anything.
His dad does seem like a tool.
Your words, not mine.
those were the nice ones.
But I'm not disagreeing.
No, Carlos, he's a good player. So far, with the way Vasquez has played, I don't think that we're any worse off than we were before. Carlos.
I think Donnie said it best when Vasquez is the year older, the year mature, the year more evolved player of Carlos.
Yeah.
It's the exact same style of player, exact same body and everything, just 1 year older, 1 year more mature.
I think
we did is really got rid of that 1 year.
Right. Yeah, we just flash forwarded him a year.
And got an international player for Guatemala.
Yeah.
So.
It was interesting. I heard that, I can't remember who was reporting it, but they were saying that the Chivas and their fans and stuff, they really are liking Carlos's play down there because... Mm-hmm. He has the kind of the technical ball skill that most of the Mexican players have, with him, I think both growing up in the Mexican academy system and then, coming to play in RSL's academy and for RSL, he continued to develop those skills. But then he also has kind of the physicality that they think MLS has.
Yep.
And so they've enjoyed his bite, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a little bit funny because, I always thought that Carlos didn't quite probably have as much bite as most defenders in the league. So, for whatever that means, but they seem to be really enjoying, him down there and, he's been getting called up to the full national team with Mexico. So good for him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, he was actually in the 3-0 U-23s national team win over Mexico. So he's getting some positive looks everywhere. And good on him. We made him who he was.
He'd be nothing without us.
Yep. Don't you forget it, Mexico.
Yep. If only he didn't have a dad holding him back.
Yeah.
So sad. But back to the CONCACAF.